Here's the rundown for this edition of the Cigar Dave Show. Number one, University of North Carolina students and faculty attack enjoying cigars on the golf course in a nonsensical research report. Number two, British Parliament to vote on age-based cigar prohibition. And what would Churchill say, by the way, about that? He would be mortified. Number three, downtown Cincinnati's historic Strauss Tobacconist temporarily closed for a year. And number four, The View's Sonny Hostin proves my hypothesis resoundingly that 65% of highly educated people are stupid.
This is the Cigar Dave Show with the General.
As I record this edition of the Cigar Dave Show, Monday, April 15th, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, I am watching on one of the four monitors in Command Center Alpha Humidor 1A the protests, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protests, and anti-American protests that are now spreading across the United States in about a dozen different cities. San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge, 5 hours. These pro-Hamas enemies of America, enemies of Israel, enemies of the American way of life, blocking the Golden Gate Bridge. Why it took cops 5 hours to get rid of these yo-yos is beyond me. I'm looking at Oakland, California, New York, Brooklyn Bridge. At least the police there are saying no way, no how. And they're getting rid of these absolute enemies. And you have to wonder. Actually, you don't have to wonder. Now you know why. All the fellow Arab countries, the fellow brothers of the Palestinians in Egypt, in Jordan, in the UAE, in Saudi Arabia, why nobody wants the Palestinians. Now you know why, because everywhere they go, they cause disruption. And I am just mortified what I saw in Michigan over the weekend. People cheering for Iran, chanting death to America, death to Israel. If we're such a horrible country, such colonizers, then why do these cockroaches come to the United States of America? If we are so evil, why does Ilhan Omar come to this country after eating sand in a Kenyan or Somali refugee camp, where she comes to Minnesota, goes on public assistance, taxpayers pay for her to get educated, and then she becomes a congresswoman to basically diss the United States at every turn? If you hate America, sweetheart, GTFO, and you know what that stands for. Get the F out. Little sick and tired. It's about time we stand up and say, if you're an enemy of America and you're pro-Iran, GTFO. Oh, you're going to disrupt traffic and commerce on bridges and roadways? GTFO. Get out. You are not wanted here. It's about time we wake up. And now you know why. Egypt, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, every country, every fellow Arab country, they don't want the Palestinians. Now you see why. All right, as always, I extend to you my long-ash greetings and salutations, a long-ash snappy salute. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the pro-Hamas enemies of America. Get rid of them. The Cigar Dave Show is presented by Gurkha, the world's finest cigars, including the new Gurkha Pure Evil, blended for cigar connoisseurs, able to handle a full-flavored cigar loaded with strength, power, and richness. Do not let the name fool you. Gurkha Pure Evil is pure cigar pleasure. Visit GurkhaCigars.com. And by Davidoff of Geneva and their Camacho portfolio of cigars, including the Camacho Triple Maduro, with a four-country blend of all Maduro tobaccos. Camacho Triple Maduro delivers an explosion of bold, earthy flavors, including cedar, pepper, and subtle smoothness. And sweetness, I should say, too. The Camacho Triple Maduro, available at DavidoffGeneva.com. Before I get to the first item up for bids on The Price is Right here, as Bob Barker used to say, I'm now watching the police removing the enemies of America protesters that are on the Golden Gate Bridge. Get them out. In fact, I see that four cars, they chain themselves covered by PVC piping. You know what I would have done? I would have basically taken one of the cars, put it on a tow truck, and I would have started towing them. And if their arms come flying off, too bad. Get rid of them. Enough is enough. I'm looking at Chicago O'Hare Airport. People had to get out a mile, mile and a half away from the entrance to the airport and walk with their luggage to catch their flights. This is unacceptable. You want to block roads? First of all, if you want to protest, do so legally and peacefully. No problem. But do not block roads. Do not block bridges. Do not in any way, shape, or form impede traffic. If you do so, police need to pronto get on the, immediately jump on them and get them off, arrest them. You're entitled to peacefully protest, but you're not allowed to block bridges and roads. And think about it. There could have been emergencies. There could be people trying to get to a doctor's appointment, people who needed to get to the airport, whatever. You're impeding daily life. 5 hours on the Golden Gate Bridge. No freaking thank you. All right, let's start. Item number one. University of North Carolina students and faculty create a nonsensical research report that attacks enjoying cigars on the golf course. In a research report published in Nicotine and Tobacco Research. Now, that sounds like the kind of magazine that would be so stimulating and exciting to read. I guarantee if you pick that up, you'd be asleep in 15 seconds. Who needs Ambien or melatonin when you can pick up a copy of Nicotine and Tobacco Research magazine? Two student researchers, Selena Kleber and Remy Phillips, and the faculty author, Adam Goldstein, MD, MPH, Master of Public Health, Master of Phony Public Health. They examined reports of tobacco sales, sponsorship, and policies at professional golf tournaments. Now, this is exactly what they said in their report. First of all, they conducted surveys by golf professionals at 13 golf courses in the United States that host PGA, LPGA, and senior tournaments in 10 states across the country. A whopping 13 golf courses. And the first thing they said, they wanted to discover and learn if cigar companies actively promote cigar use, sales, sponsorship opportunities at golf clubs throughout the country. And they also wanted to determine the cigar use at various golf clubs. And if it is discouraged, if it's regulated. This is what they had to say. The lack of research on golf and cigar policies was very surprising, considering their close relationships and cultural traditions, said Selena Kleber, a health policy graduate student at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This article sheds important light on tobacco use policies on courses, sales, marketing, and signage. The reason there's a lack of research, sweetheart, is because nobody has a problem with adults enjoying a cigar on the golf course. Now, of course, you know they're going to try to tie this to secondhand smoke. They're trying to tie this to the fact that some of these golf courses hold youth tournaments and that they allow smoking cigars on golf courses that hold youth tournaments throughout the year. This isn't like a smoking gun. This isn't like some deep-seated conspiracy that goes on at golf courses. Adults have been enjoying, specifically men, go out and play golf and they smoke a cigar, just like when they go hunting or they go fishing, they fire up a cigar. This isn't anything earth-shattering. The mere fact that these two, by the way, these two girls, I'm looking at them, in 20 years, I'm telling you right now, they're probably, what, 22, 23? In 20 years, I can just picture both of these young women turning into, well, they are already liberal Dems, you know that, but they turn into these ugly, crunchy granola broads that basically have the gray hair, that no makeup, They could be 40, 45, but look about 75 or 85. They're angry. They're miserable. They haven't gotten laid in who knows how many decades. They can't get a man. I can picture both of these young women getting to that point. But for them to immediately start their research reports saying, it's surprising that there's a lack of research on golf and cigar policies because adults want to enjoy a cigar during a leisure time activity and they're not bothering anybody. You're talking about a golf course. The average golf course, I looked it up, is 200 acres. And if you take the average par four hole, it's around 350 to 380 yards. That's 3.5 to 3.8 football fields. Now I ask you, if you light a cigar at the end of a football field in one end zone, and then you tell someone to go all the way to the other side of the field, the other end zone, 100 plus yards away, you let me know if you smell any of that cigar smoke. The answer is, of course not. But they want to make this like, oh my gosh, people are smoking cigars on the golf course. Oh, the secondhand smoke, spare us. And they're perturbed that the majority of the PGA-affiliated golf courses did not have a policy on tobacco use. Why? Because they know that their members enjoy playing golf and smoking a cigar, and it doesn't bother anybody. Now, they further asked, do you sell cigarettes or cigars? Most did not sell cigarettes. No surprise. I don't think I've ever seen in the last probably 20 years a golf course that sells cigarettes. However, many of them sell cigars. No surprise. Two-thirds or 69% reported they sold cigars. And over one-half, 54%, sought cigar sponsorships for tournaments. And that is most likely local cigar stores, local cigar retailers to maybe sponsor a hole to, and remember, these aren't just, we're not talking about PGA tournaments. We're talking about local tournaments or charity tournaments at golf courses. Sponsor a hole, maybe pay a fee, a couple hundred dollars, and you can sell your cigars to a group of people that enjoy cigars, that are adults, that are not youth. Goldstein, Adam Goldstein, the director of the University of North Carolina Tobacco Intervention Program, said, it is really shocking to see how few tobacco use protections exist for exposures to cigarettes and cigars at many professional golf tournaments. I don't think I've ever seen anybody at a tournament smoke a cigarette. Cigars, absolutely. No ifs, ands, or buts. Pardon the pun. And by the way, those people that do enjoy smoking cigars on the golf course, they don't litter. They don't put their cigar butt, their extinguished cigar butt, on the tee box or on the green or in the rough. They dispose of it in a garbage receptacle. Why? Because the cigar connoisseurs, we do not litter. We are polite. And we know that when we're done with a cigar, we're not going to throw it on the golf course. It is that simple. Now, the authors of this supposed study, and by the way, it really wasn't a study. All they did were send out these questionnaires to a slew of golf courses, and they got very, very little response. But the authors say they hope that future research and advocacy might make a difference in tobacco policy at golf clubs and professional golf events. And that golf championships and tournaments that appeal to tens of millions of spectators annually. Actually, that's not true. There are not tens of millions of spectators that attend golf championships. The Masters did not have, I don't know what the number is, but I believe it's way, way less than what you'd see at an NFL game. But they're saying they want the golf courses to implement policy changes that will protect the health of the next generation of golf enthusiasts. Now, let's talk realistically here, not in fantasy land. Number one, as I mentioned, if you smoke a cigar on the golf course, you're not bothering anybody else. You're lighting that cigar, you take a puff, two, three puffs, whatever the case may be, and then you start walking, and the smoke dissipates. And by the time the next group behind you gets to where you smoke your cigar, could be a minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, the aroma is gone. It goes into the air because you are outside. It dissipates. And the reason nobody complains about cigar smoke on the golf course is because it doesn't bother anybody. It's that simple. These enemies of pleasure find such misery in their own lives that they want to take away adult golfers' celebrated tradition of enjoying a cigar on the golf course. They're trying to say that other golfers' health is at risk. Baloney. Absolutely not true. We want to enjoy our cigar. We're not bothering anybody. We're not blowing our cigar smoke in other people's faces. And in fact, I can't tell you how many times I've been on a golf course where somebody sees me smoking a cigar from another fairway and jokingly yells, "Do you have another one? Do you have cigars for us?" And most of the time I say, absolutely. I want to share the cigar wealth with fellow cigar connoisseurs. And I'll take it over to them and they'll say, "Oh, thank you so much. Fantastic. Do you have a light? Do you have a cutter, a lighter?" I most certainly do. And they enjoy themselves. This group is taking a statistically irrelevant, not even a threat, a statistically irrelevant time of enjoyment and try to make this a public health issue. We all know the truth. That as adults, we enjoy cigars in moderation. We don't inhale. We don't smoke cigars for the nicotine. You don't see people running off an airplane and lighting a cigar. You'll see it do with cigarettes, but you won't see it with cigars. In fact, a very well-known acclaimed public health authority, Dr. Michael Siegel, stated that smoke quickly dispenses in the open air, and no evidence demonstrates that the duration of outdoor exposure in places where people can move freely about is long enough to cause substantial health damage. He further noted, trying to convince people that even transient exposure to secondhand smoke is a potentially deadly hazard. Smoking opponents risk losing scientific credibility. They know it's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And what they are trying to do, these two University of North Carolina student researchers and this faculty researcher, they're trying to use junk science to expand smoking bans to large outdoor areas. We've seen numerous municipalities, public golf courses, public parks, even on public sidewalks, can't smoke anything because it's going to hurt somebody, secondhand smoke. The only thing that I say hurts people is the fact that they want to intrude into our lives. And again, most of these people are so miserable that the only way they derive enjoyment is to instill their misery upon others. We as cigar connoisseurs, we are happy. We look at the glasses half full. We are not just mopey and depressed and just always Debbie Downers. We are happy. We enjoy our lives. We enjoy our life's great pleasures, cigars, spirits, dames, steaks, grilling, and they just can't see us happy. But we're not going to sit back and just allow them to spew their nonsense unchallenged. And that is why I felt it important to bring it up to you, because chances are you may see the Marxist media bring this up, and they'll say, "Oh, there's just such a tremendous epidemic of people smoking cigars on golf courses and secondhand smoke on golf courses," when we all know that is not the case. Again, 200 acres for a golf course. I don't care if 100 golfers are smoking at one time, and that's probably a lot at any one time on a golf course. Maybe it's 50 on a peak Saturday morning. You're not going to smell that. You're not going to smell that more than 50 feet away. So keep firing up your cigars as you play a round of golf. Enjoy two great pleasure maneuvers. The great Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of England during World War II. The man that said, "Never, never, never, never give up." The man that enjoyed his cigars, that enjoyed his whiskey. One of the great political figures of history, would be absolutely mortified to know that in his own country, the Tory Conservative Party, led by Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who's a total dud. Just seems as though Great Britain has had all these dud prime ministers the last, I don't know, four or five prime ministers. They're all duds. But Rishi Sunak, the current prime minister, leader of the Conservative Party, is championing a smoking ban that would make it illegal for any person born after 2008 to purchase tobacco. That means if you're born after 2008, you can never legally purchase a cigar, no matter what your age. You could be born after 2008 and you could be 90 years old. You would not be legally allowed to purchase a cigar. New Zealand proposed this with the prime minister who looked basically like Mr. Ed. If you look at her mouth, she kind of had the same tooth structure and mouth structure as a horse. I think, what was her name? It will come to me. Wait a minute, I'm going to look it up now because New Zealand Prime Minister. All I remember, I kept calling her Mr. Ed. That's the only thing I could remember. Let me see if I can find it here. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Okay. Former Prime Minister. Wait a minute. I am seeing, it shows a picture of her. Jacinda something or other. Great. It shows a picture of her, but it does not have. Let me see if I can get it here. Wait, list of prime. Jacinda Ardern, who resigned as Prime Minister of New Zealand, who, by the way, got a guest professor fellow deal over at Harvard University. What does that tell you about Harvard? Ultra leftist. She's the one that wanted all the lockdowns, mandatory Wuhan virus vaccinations, but she never took one. Of course, do as I say, not as I do. Ultra-liberal Jacinda Ardern, I'm telling you, the face looks like a horse. That's why I call her Mr. Ed. A horse is better looking. She proposed and was going to go into law a ban on purchasing tobacco, again, if you were born past, I think it was 2008, 2009. Well, when the new Conservative government came in, the new current Prime Minister, Christopher Luxon, head of the New Zealand National Party, took office last November 27th. One of the first things they did is they got rid of that law that was going to take effect, I think, later this year or next year. We don't need prohibition. England, the UK, does not need prohibition. If you don't want to smoke a cigar, don't. But don't inflict this nonsense saying, well, it's not really a ban because it only applies to those people who were born after 2008. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said in October at the Tory Party conference, a 14-year-old today will never legally be sold a cigarette or a cigar, and their generation can grow up smoke-free. What's next? Saying you can't have a glass of wine, glass of scotch, can't eat a steak. If you don't think that they will try at some point in time, under the guise of climate communism, because I don't call it climate change, that's fabrication, it is climate communism. It is nothing more than a wealth transfer scheme, a Marxist wealth transfer scheme. They will extend it to food. They will extend it to libations. The end will not be near. I'm telling you, there will come a time where they'll say, you cannot grill hamburgers and hot dogs in your backyard. Why? Because of the emissions being released into the air that are dangerous to the global climate. Climate communism. But there's a big debate. Even though tomorrow, the Parliament, the UK Parliament, British Parliament, is scheduled to take a vote on this smoking and tobacco ban, a big debate is raging in the Conservative Party over the policy. And many of them are referring and are referencing Prime Minister Winston Churchill. Boris Johnson, another dud prime minister, absolute dud. At least he has spoken out against it. Boris Johnson said it is absolutely absurd He said it is absolutely nuts. He said the party of Winston Churchill now wants to ban cigars. In fact, the health secretary, Victoria Atkins, brought up Winston Churchill's name by saying that he would be in favor of the profoundly conservative policy. Number one, that's not conservative, taking rights away from people. And number two, if you think for a millisecond that Sir Winston Churchill, one of the most famous cigar connoisseurs and whiskey connoisseurs of all time, would say, "Oh yes, this is fantastic. Let us have prohibition. No more cigars for everyone." You are out of your freaking mind. You are nuts. Boris Johnson went on to say, "What, we're banning cigars? What's the point of banning? The party of Winston Churchill wants to ban cigars? It's just mad." And he is correct. Now, currently, it is the minimum age to legal age to purchase tobacco and alcohol is 18 years of age. You must be 18 years of age to purchase those products. Now, in the United States, we've raised that to 21 because we live in a puritanistic society now. Now, these same people in the United States that raised the smoking and the drinking age to 21 are the same people that say lower the voting age to 16. Absolute nonsense. Forget it. Just amazing to me. Let's lower the voting age to 16 because people and kids are mature enough at that age to vote. Yet, at 18, they're not mature enough to buy a cigar or smoke a cigar or have a cocktail. No, no, we've got to raise that to 21. The hypocrisy is truly amazing. So in Britain, the home of the great Winston Churchill now wants to effectuate a permanent ban on the purchase of cigars by any person born after the year 2008. The enemies of pleasure are rampant, not only in the United States, but across the world. And that is why we must fight at every turn. At every single turn, if somebody comes to you and says, "This is good for health. This is good. We are doing this for your own health." Nonsense. They are doing it to control your life. They want to decide what you can smoke, what you can drink, what you can eat, how many dames you can fornicate with or have in your harem. They want to control every aspect of your life. The same people who say, "We must be careful, we must go to net zero emissions, because if we don't, the world will be gone in 2 years." These are the same people that said it 40 years ago, and 30 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 10 years ago. And yet, we're all here. We're all enjoying ourselves. We're all happy, enjoying being cigar connoisseurs and being alphas. But they want to impinge into every aspect of our lives. Net zero emissions. As I've told you before, when you ask one of these climate change or these climate communists that say, "We need to go to net zero emissions, or we have to do it in the next 5 years or it'll be too late," ask them, "What is the percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?" I will guarantee you 90% of them will not know the answer. And when you tell them to take a guess, they'll say, "Oh, 50%. 40%, 60%, 30%, 20%. Every person that I've asked, every climate communist who starts spewing to me about going to net zero and why we need to go to electrified vehicles and why we must stop traveling by plane or buy all these bullshit carbon credits, these offsets. When you ask them, "Okay, if we do go to net zero, what is the current percentage of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere?" They don't know. And then they give you an answer that is ridiculously high. Here's the answer. 0.4%. That is the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And it hasn't changed even with all the man-made industrial revolution creations that have been put into effect by mankind over the last 150 years. 0.4%. The reality is that if the Earth gets to 0.2% carbon dioxide, life as we know it ceases to exist. Humans, plant life. And by the way, the largest single percentage of carbon dioxide is natural. It comes from plant life. Humans represent a small portion of that. I think humans represent 2%, 1 or 2% of the total carbon dioxide emissions. That's it. And when someone says, well, look at all the hurricanes and look at the warming, the first thing I say to them is, oh, so there were no hurricanes 500 years ago or 200 years ago before we had all the Industrial Revolution going on? There were no hurricanes? Actually, some of the worst hurricanes took place 150 years ago, before the invention of the automobile, the train, and the plane. But they don't deal in facts. They want to deal in fiction. And the same people that say to you, you've got to cut down on, we've got to go to net zero, cut down on our emissions, they're the same ones that travel by private plane, that travel on their 200-foot yachts in the summer cruising the Mediterranean, that live in 20,000-square-foot homes, but wag their finger at you saying, oh, you need to cut down. And when you ask them, well, what about you? You travel by plane, you travel in your yacht. What do they tell you? Why buy carbon offsets, which is the biggest absolute scam on the face of the planet? Well, I buy carbon offsets for my carbon footprint. Please spare us all. One of the great cigar tobacconists in the country is located in downtown Cincinnati in the Mercantile Library Building, or it was. Strauss Tobacconist, currently owned by Jim Clark, who's owned it for many, many years. Actually, Jim started off as the CFO for the company way back, and then he ended up buying Strauss Tobacconist in 1991. But the store's history can be traced to 1880. In fact, it is the third oldest cigar shop in the United States, or tobacconist in the United States. In 1880, Henry Strauss established a wholesale cigar company in Cincinnati. 4 years later, in 1894, the Strauss Brothers Tobacco Shop was formed. They opened a retail store on Walnut Street in downtown Cincinnati in 1905, the same year as the Columbia Restaurant opened in the cigar city of Tampa as a cafe for the cigar rollers in Ybor City. But they opened a retail store on Walnut Street in downtown Cincinnati, 1905, the same location that was the home to Strauss Tobacconist. Jim Clark announced last month that the building was apparently sold, or it's being in the process of combining with an adjacent building, and they're going to create a 172-unit apartment building that will eventually have 60,000 square feet of commercial space on the ground level. And as part of this renovation, Strauss Tobacconist must close for a year, even though the end of the year is when the renovation is supposedly going to be complete. But Jim apparently has sold the store, Strauss Tobacconist, to a new undisclosed owner who said that they will be opening up in a year. And I hope so, because I have frequented Strauss Tobacco many times. I commuted back and forth to Cincinnati for several years with a company that I was involved with. Absolutely love downtown Cincinnati. I can tell you the Montgomery Inn, fantastic ribs. Just a great place that for many years was cigar friendly. When Ted Gregory owned it, his son Dean Gregory, great guy. Just a classic place. And then just some great restaurants downtown. And certainly Strauss Tobacconist. Izzy's, one of the great delis in the country. But Strauss Tobacconist, you walked in there and you could feel the history. It was oozing with history. And Jim Clark, wonderful guy, great proprietor of Strauss Tobacconist. He opened a second location in 2000, right during the cigar boom, in Florence, Kentucky, right across the river from downtown Cincinnati. That location will still stay open. But the downtown location for now is closed. And that location saw many celebrities, VIPs come in. many of the football players playing the Bengals, many of the teams playing the Cincinnati Reds would come in. In fact, Jack McKean, the longtime manager of the Reds, big cigar smoker, would come in. Just many, many well-known celebrities and VIPs would frequent it. Just a great place. You walk in, you feel at home. Just historic. And to think that it's been in the same location since 1880 is amazing. So Strauss Tobacconist closed for a year. Let us hope it opens. Let us hope that it is around for another 100 years, because for people that work downtown, live downtown, happen to just be downtown for whatever reason, it's a great place, was a great place to stop in and have a cigar. And Jim Clark, one of the great people in the world of cigars. In fact, when I was commuting up, I would hop in there all the time, and we would chit-chat, smoke a cigar. You couldn't go wrong. So Strauss Tobacconist, if you live in Cincinnati or the Kentucky, Ohio area, closed for now, but you can still visit the Kentucky location, the Florence, Kentucky location, until the, hopefully, the Strauss Tobacconist, new and improved Strauss Tobacconist opens in a year. But I have to tell you, you can modernize it all you want, but there was something very special about that classic historical store. When you walked in, you could just feel it. You could feel the history oozing out of the walls and the chairs. And just Jim was always very hospitable, not only to me, but to every cigar connoisseur that came into downtown Cincinnati's Strauss Tobacconist. And we wish Jim the best of luck selling the downtown location. We hope it does open up. And if it does, we will let you know. You can be sure about that. The International Cigar Litation Ceremony comes your way next.
Gurkha has long been the king when it comes to opulent, grandly made cigars. And the new Gurkha Pure Evil more than lives up to that legacy. Gurkha originally launched the Pure Evil 15 years ago as a limited edition cigar. They went back to their blend vault. They tweaked the blend to add more flavor, more complexity. The result is a Gurkha Pure Evil that is loaded with flavor, full body, full notes of richness. Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler. Don't let the name fool you. The Gurkha Pure Evil is pure cigar pleasure. Gurkha, the world's finest cigars. Visit GurkhaCigars.com.
An unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, I'm in the mood for a medium to full-bodied cigar, something a little bit unique, and I have just pulled out a CAO 60 Torque. It is not a 6x60 cigar. It is an 8x60 cigar. This is a beast of a stick, a monster. This is not a Magnum. This is a Super Magnum. And as they say at CAO, this is sure to rev your engine. Special release Honduran, or correction, Nicaraguan Habano binder, Nicaraguan filler, and a beautiful dark rich Honduran Habano wrapper. This gives you a nice medium to full bodied cigar loaded with rich flavors and spice. Comes in a collectible tin, 8 cigars that look like an oil can. It's actually really cool. You open it up, looks like the top of an oil can. Very, very neat addition to the CAO lineup. And you're looking probably for this cigar, it's probably going to be around probably in the $12, $13 category, but a beautiful looking cigar. Very simple band, white band, it's black and reddish orange. A circle, it says CAO, the CAO logo in black, and the big numerals 60 for the CAO 60 Torque 8x60, an absolute beast. That's what I will enjoy today for the International Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready for action.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
I have from the Cigar Dave R&D Labs a five-star. Five jet butane jet flames arranged in a pentagon to replicate the five stars of a five-star general. That would be me. Nice translucent tank. Love it. Take this all around. Just filled it up, and I can see I'm right at about the 90% level. I am good to go.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut on this behemoth 8x60 CAO60 torque. I'm going to take my time toasting this cigar because with a 60 ring gauge, going to take a little bit more time. I am first going to hold the lightation device, my Cigar Dave R&D Labs 5-star. Straight up, cigar's at a 45 degree angle, and I'm gently rotating to get the wrapper to combust first. I can smell the first few wafts of that incredible combination of Honduran and Nicaraguan tobaccos. Now I will toast the foot of the cigar. Now remember, 60 ring gauge means 60/64ths of an inch in diameter. It's almost an inch in diameter, so I'm really doing a nice job to make sure this is toasted. Now I will slowly puff and rotate. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Nice notes of spice right off the bat. Let me blow on the foot of the cigar. One area that I just need to toast up a little bit further. I want a nice even amber glow. Here we go. Perfect. Very nice. Definite rich taste. This 8-inch cigar, I'll tell you, huge. This 8x60 is going to take at least an hour and 20 minutes, maybe longer to smoke. Because again, I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to take my time. Maybe a puff a minute, two puffs every minute and a half, something like that. Just taking my time. Nice. Nice Honduran Habano wrapper, Nicaraguan Habano binder, Nicaraguan fillers. Nice. Very, very pleasant. A lot of flavor. This isn't for someone that's looking for a mild-bodied cigar neophyte. But if you're an experienced connoisseur looking for a medium to full-flavored cigar after a nice steak dinner, this would be it. Absolutely magnificent. Take a few more puffs. And when we return, we'll hear from The View's Sonny Hostin. This dame is an attorney. And as I always say, never conflate a highly educated person with being smart. Because most of them are stupid. We see that all the time, and we will tell you about that around the corner. Maduro cigar wrappers are known for their unique complexity of flavor that include richness, spiciness, and subtle notes of sweetness. Now, if you take a Maduro wrapper and make an entire cigar of Maduro wrapper and Maduro binder, Maduro filler, what do you get? The Camacho Triple Maduro, a Mexican San Andreas Maduro wrapper, a Mexican Corojo Maduro binder, and then Maduro fillers from Honduras, the Dominican Republic, and Brazil. You get a cigar that is dark, rich, full-on flavor, medium to full-bodied, with notes of cedar, roasted nuts, some pepper, and a subtle sweetness. The Camacho Triple Maduro, available at DavidoffGeneva.com. At one time, I stated that 50% of the world is stupid. Has nothing to do with your education level, your socioeconomic level. I don't care if you're a billionaire. Does not mean that you are not stupid.
I have stated this over and over, and over the last year, I have changed that percentage. I've increased it to 65% because we have discussed here on the Cigar Dave Show many instances of highly wealthy and educated people being absolutely stupid. I have seen it, and I do see it every day in business. I see it at the store. I see it during normal life. And you look, you say to yourself, these are highly educated people. These are successful people. I'm amazed at how truly stupid they are. And it has nothing to do, again, with socioeconomic status or education level. We as alphas, we're intelligent. We have common sense. We don't need to read something in a book. We don't need to look at a book to say, do we cross the street on a red light or a green light? We have common sense. And unfortunately, the majority of the world does not. Let me give you an example. The View, or as I call it, The Pew, because it is, the View is just so rotten to the core. These are women that are miserable, that haven't gotten laid, couldn't get a man, that just are ill-informed. They are, as we would say, stupid. Exhibit A, Sunny Hostin, one of the co-hosts. Of course, everything with her is about race. Everything with Trump is evil. Every Republican is evil. She's an absolute Marxist lib loon, no doubt about it. She is an educated attorney. Went to law school, practiced law. She is an attorney. I want you to hear what she said last week when discussing a multitude of events that were occurring, including the eclipse.
I mean, I have to say, Karen DuPeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got
she
the earthquake.
The
she ran down the hallway.
The rapture
then,
is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in
cicadas,
like
cicada.
No,
this is what I read.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
So for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
But in a way,
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
Of course, let's blame natural events that have been taking place in the world for millions of years. Let's blame it on climate change. Of course, everything's climate change. If you had a bad meal, climate change. I got a cold. Climate change. My flight ran late. Climate change. You name it, let's blame climate change, or as I refer to it, climate communism. Now, there's so many parts to take to her absolutely ludicrous statement. And again, she proves just how truly stupid she is. This is a woman that attended law school, passed the bar, was a practicing attorney. In fact, her claim to fame, I think she was on CNN and then ABC as their legal analyst. And this absolute wackadoodle dingbat says earthquakes, cicadas emerging, and the solar eclipse caused by climate change. Earthquakes have been around, sweetheart, for millions of years. The cicadas have been coming out every 13 or 17 years for thousands and thousands of years, natural occurrence. The solar eclipse, that's taken place for millions, or as Carl Sagan would say, the former astronomer, billions and billions of years, or actually Bernard Sanders, billions and trillions and zillions of years. The solar eclipse is a conspiracy by those people who deny climate change. We would not have solar eclipses if it weren't for the climate change. These people are absolutely asinine. They are stupid. Earthquakes. Millions of years. The cicadas. She didn't even know the correct name. Cicadas. Oh, I read somewhere that they're coming out for the first time in a couple hundred years or 100 years. Cicadas. By the way, the first time I ever saw cicadas, it was 1986, I believe. It's 86 or 88. I moved to Baltimore after college. And that spring, summer, whatever it was, 86, 88. Again, it may have been 87. I can't remember. It's in that time frame when I lived in Baltimore. I will never forget it. We started hearing on the news, started hearing about these cicadas. What's a cicada? And they're big in the mid-Atlantic in Illinois. Growing up in Buffalo, attending college at Syracuse University, never saw a cicada up there. We didn't have them up there. But these things live underground for 13 or 17 years, and they come out every 13 or 17 years. The males make a tremendously loud sound. They are just ugly-looking insects. They look like giant grasshoppers with these beady eyes. And they mate, and they die. Or the females lay eggs, they mate, boom. Then they all kick the bucket, and they drop. And they're everywhere, on the ground, on the cement, on the sidewalk. They're disgusting. Never saw them before. And sometimes they'll fly towards you, and, you know, they think your arm is like a female, and they'll try to, or a tree branch, and they'll try to, you know, come on you. They don't bite. They don't hurt. They're just totally repulsive-looking insects. But she says, not what I read. They come out every 100 years. No, every 13 or 17 years. And then the solar eclipse. Let's listen to this absolute moron one more time.
I mean, I have to say, Karen Dupeach, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like
100
years.
No.
This is what I read.
Two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times. Times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
I will say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
Yeah, climate change exists. Okay, sweetheart. Even Whoopi Goldberg, who's not the brightest light on the tree, her tone towards Sonny Hostin was like, sweetheart, you're an idiot. You're a total moron. You sound like a jackass. Stop. Even she had enough, realized how incredibly ignorant Sonny Hostin looked. Again, proves my hypothesis resoundingly. 65% of highly educated people are stupid. Congratulations, Sonny Hostin. You win the stupid prize. Don't forget. So we wrap things up here. If you'd like to email me, CigarDave@CigarDave.com, social media, X/Twitter @CigarDaveShow, Facebook, Instagram, Getter, Truth Social @CigarDave. Cigar Dave the General saying, may your humidor always be full. May your cutter always be sharp. May your ash be extra, extra long. Semper Delicatio, always pleasure. Long live the alpha. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Screw the enemies of America, the pro-Hamas enemies of America, # make America great again, # save America, # Trump 2024, November can't come fast enough.